Okay, we're trying to do sugyas that relate to Maseches Rosh Hashanah a little bit, but also that even if one is not learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah, one can easily jump right into and relate to. So tonight we're going to do, I think it's probably one of the more famous Gemaras in Shas, because I think it's because, first of all, it's a relevant topic in Hashkafa, it's a relevant topic in Halacha, and it's a Gemara that appears in the first parak of Pesachim, the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, and the first parak of Abbasah. So three Masechtas that they learn in yeshivas, and yeshivas only learn the first parak usually. So you have these are Gemaras that are learned by almost everybody at some point in their yeshiva life. So the Gemara is in Rosh Hashanah, which is what we're relating to, appears in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks about doing mitzvos not completely l'shem shemayim, meaning if a person is doing a mitzvah but he has an ulterior motive in doing the mitzvah, is there a problem with that? So the Gemara right away on the top of page 2, source number 1, Uman David achilav mal yusihi. When someone does a mitzvah in such a way, is it not a great thing? Is it not a wonderful thing? V'atanya, Bryce says, Ha'omer selazul tzedaka b'shvil sheyichi b'ni. Let's say a person gives money to tzedakah, and he says, I'm giving this money to tzedakah because I want my son to survive. Let's say his son is ill, or he's otherwise a nervous father, or whatever. So I'm doing this so that my son shall live. He's earmarking the zuchus of that mitzvah dafka to work for his child. Or something else. I'm doing it because I want to be zocha to chay olam haba. I'm not doing it because I want to serve Hashem. I'm not doing it because it's right. I'm not doing it because it's good. I'm doing it because I want olam haba, and I'm told that when you do things like this, you get olam haba. Says the Gemara, Hareza Tzadik Gomor. The person is a Tzadik Gomor. Now, all the Rishonim point out doesn't mean that he's really, he can go kill and, eat cheeseburgers for lunch and he's a Tzadik Gomor. No, it doesn't mean that. It means, as far as this act is concerned, we can't ask any more of him. Meaning, this is not considered a mitzvah that was done in some weakened state, a mitzvah that's somehow a shell of a mitzvah. No, this is it. This is the mitzvah of tzedakah. Nothing wrong with it. Tzadik Gomor for this mitzvah. So says the Gemara, but the Gemara was working off a previous Gemara that had sounded that it's not appropriate to do a mitzvah if you're not doing it l'shem shemayim, and the Gemara answers lo kasha. Kan be Yisrael, kan benachrim. Very strange answer, that it's a difference between a Jew doing a mitzvah and a non-Jew doing a mitzvah. And apparently what we're saying is, when a Jew does a mitzvah for less than the greatest motives, he's a tzadik gomor. A non-Jew, the same kavanos, same mitzvah even, it's not a great thing. It's not a good thing when a non-Jew does it. That alone requires explanation. Why would there be a distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew when it comes to a mitzvah that they're both chayiv in, let's say, a mitzvah that they're both having the same kavana in? So why would there be a difference? And we'll touch upon that as we see the other sources as well. The structure of the shiur is going to be, just to lay it out in advance, is that first we're just going to see the Gemaras, the three places in Shas where this passage appears, because context is important in these places. So we're going to just see the passages. And then we're only going to discuss two questions that are dealt with about this passage. One is a question that's dealt with by Rishonim. It's a very serious and very strong question in Hashkafa, in our attitude toward how we do mitzvos, and it's dealt with by Rishonim. The second question is a question that's dealt with by Achronim. And what I'm going to try to submit and suggest is that the reason the second question is not dealt with by Rishonim is because it's not a kasha. It's not really a question at all, and in fact, we're going to find that the Chafetz Chaim also thought it was not a kasha. And that's why Rishonim weren't bothered by it, because the whole thing is based on a misunderstanding. And through the course of dealing with both of those questions, we're also going to try to see how sometimes you have phrases that are thrown around and people aren't always being precise in the usage of those phrases. Meaning, I remember certainly when I was taking my bechina to get into Keren Biavne. So I think I threw out the phrase gavra or cheftza or something like that, and Rav Mendel Blachman attacked me. I mean, he like yelled at me for like a half hour. You don't know what a gavri is. You don't know what a chavtz is. You're just throwing words out. Yeah, it sounds like a yeshivish word. It sounds like you have to. So very often when phrases are used, they're either used as a melitza, as an expression, or otherwise somewhat imprecisely. And what we're going to find is that the term Bein Adam Lechavero, we're going to find through the course of these discussions, might be used somewhat imprecisely. Meaning, the word Bein Adam Lechavero might not mean mitzvos between man and his fellow, at least as far as this discussion is concerned. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. So let's again go back to the beginning. We have this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. A person says that I'm giving this money, Al Manas Bishvil Sheyichye B'ni, Bishvil Sheskel Chayal Maba. Wonderful, he's the greatest guy, provided that he's Jewish. The Gemara adds that caveat. Provided that he's Jewish, if he's a non-Jew, it's not so great. Then we have a Gemara in Pesachim Dav Ches Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Tana, Ein Mechayv Nosa Lachnes Yado L'chorin U'L'stakin Livdok Mipnei HaSakana. You're searching for chametz. Don't search in dangerous areas. You're going to go into these tiny little crevices to look for chametz. Don't do that. That is dangerous. My sakana, says the Gemara, what's dangerous about that? E name of b'nei sakanas akruv, if you're worried that a scorpion or some serpent or something is going to attack him, ki mishtamish heich yishtamish. Why on earth would he ever keep chametz in a place that has dangerous creatures lurking? Meaning the halach is you only have to search for chametz in a place where you keep chametz, in a makom shemachnisin bo chametz. If it's a place that no one would ever put chametz, you don't have to search for sure. So why in the world would a person have, as like his pantry, a place where there are these dangerous creatures lurking where every time you open up your pantry you have to worry about getting killed? That doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, L'tzricha d'nafal. No, there weren't dangerous creatures lurking before your house caved in. But you had a pantry in your house, and then the house caved in, and now it's a pile of rubble, and now we're afraid that there are dangerous creatures. So, enough, alam ali bedika. But if it fell, do you really need to do bedika? Vatnan, chametz shnafal av mapoles, hareu kimavuar. If your house caves in, you have to go looking for the chametz. It's considered destroyed. If someone, worked in the, and certainly not to make light of it, but as an example, if someone worked in the World Trade Center or something and wasn't there, he was saying slichos or whatever, we hear all those stories that the people came late, wasn't it? He doesn't have to go clean out his desk from chametz afterwards. Go under, looking under the pile of rubble. It's destroyed, it's incinerated, it's gone. So says, that's if a dog wouldn't be able to find it. But over here, it's still intact, and a dog would be able to pull it out, so you have to go pull it out as well. So the Gemara is, in that case, where a dog can pull it out, but it might be dangerous for you to do so, that's the chiddush of the brisa, that you shouldn't go looking for that chametz. Asks the Gemara, why not? Why shouldn't you go looking for that chametz? What are you afraid of? What's going to happen to you? What, an animal's going to attack you? V'ha amar Rabbi Lazar, shluchei mitzvah eina nizokin. Rabbi Lazar says, shluchei mitzvah eina nizokin. Nothing bad happens to a person who's going to do a mitzvah. So nothing's going to happen to you. Of course, sometimes bad things do happen to people on the way to do a mitzvah. That was the kasha of Acher. That's what caused Acher to question everything. He saw a person doing kibbut aveim and shiluach hakein at the same time, which are the two mitzvahs that say l'man yarichun yamecha, and the guy died as he was doing it. So we can't really ask such kashas. But shluchei mitzvah in Zakon is more of a halach of how to behave, that you don't have to worry going in. It's not retrospective, meaning we're not really supposed, we don't know. We don't know the answer. Someone was just telling me, I was in Tinek for Shabbos, of a fellow who had pulled over on the side of a highway to help a distressed motorist who had to change a tire in the car, and this fellow pulled over to help him, and as he's changing the fellow's tire, an 18-wheeler runs over his leg and crushes his leg. How could it be? It's very hard to try to answer such questions, so we're better off not asking such questions. But prospectively, we're saying you should do bedika, because what are you worried about? Something's going to happen to you? Nothing's going to happen. Shluchim mitzvah nizokin. Amar Ravashi, shema tovad lo machat, vasi liyuni basra. Shluchim mitzvah nizokin is not going to work, because maybe while you're looking for your chametz, you're going to look for your iPod also. You'll look for something else also. You'll look for a needle, a sewing needle that you lost as well. And since you're going to be looking for something else, you're not only doing the mitzvah l'shem mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah, but thinking about what else you might benefit by doing that mitzvah. And that's going to ruin the whole thing. You're no longer shluchim mitzvah. So in that context, and so the context here is critical, the Gemara asks, is it not a mitzvah to look for chametz when you have an ulterior motive to also find your iPod? Exactly, our Gemara, that if you give tzedakah for an ulterior motive, so why if you do b'dikas chametz for an ulterior motive, do we not say and that you're the ultimate shluchei mitzvah and that you should be fully protected? And says Gemara, you're right, you are fully protected while you're doing the mitzvah of looking for chametz. The concern is Dilma Basra Debadak Asilu Unibasra. The concern is you'll finish finding the chametz and you'll keep on looking for your iPod. And that's when the creatures might come and attack you, because you'll be done with the mitzvah already. There are no guarantees once you're done with the mitzvah where you're just doing it purely for your own benefit, where there is no mitzvah left at all to be done. But the Gemara's conclusion is very clear, that while you're looking for chametz, even if you have an ulterior motive in doing so, you want to find things that you value personally, or while you're giving tzedakah, even though you're doing it because of your own ulterior motives, it's perfectly fine. Tzadik gamur, the full protection of shluchei mitzvah and nizokin applies to such a person. Great. That's very clear from this Gemara. So Pesachim added something Rosh Hashanah didn't have, because it didn't only apply this concept to the mitzvah of tzedakah. Right, we added by the mitzvah of tzedakah in Rosh Hashanah, but here in Pesachim we apply it to the mitzvah of bedikas chametz as well. That even bedikas chametz without kavana is also good. Then we have a Gemara Maseches Babasra, which is where you would really expect this Gemara to be, because the first paragraph of Babasra discusses tzedakah. There are a number of tzedakah sugyas in the first paragraph of Maseches Babasra, and there's a whole series of drushos that the Gemara over there has about how to darshan the pasuk tzedakah teromim gai v'chesed l'umim chatas. Are those two separate phrases? Tzedakah lifts up the guy. Who's the guy? Is the guy the Jewish people? Is the guy the other nations? Chesed l'umim chatas. Chesed for the nations is a sin. What does that mean? So there are a whole series of different drashas of how to darshan it. Or maybe it's tzedakah tromim guy v'chesed l'umim chatas. Or you put the comma somewhere else. So it says the Gemara, one of the drashas as follows: Nenar Blazer v'amar tzedakah tromim guy elu Yisrael. Tzedakah lifts up a nation, that's the Jewish people. You see, it's an irony of Jewish history, I guess, that it became a Yiddishism to refer to a Nachri, to non-Jews, as a Goy. Really, the only Goy, Rav Shachter often likes to point out, the only Goy Echad Ba'aretz, is Klal Yisrael. Everyone else is called Mishpachos Ha'adama. That it's we even say Shalom Asani Gai with the Yiddishism rather than Shalom Asani Nachri. Really, it's Shalom Asani Nachri. That's really what we're saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make us a Nachri. We're the only nation. Everything else is Mishpachos HaAdama. But there's a Gai Yachad Ba'aretz. There's only one Gai. So Tzedakah Terom Gai, when the Pasuk uses that terminology, it's not talking about the nations of the world, it's talking about the Jewish people. We give Tzedakah, it uplifts us. What's that phrase talking about? When the Ovdei Kochavim do chesed and tzedakah, it's an avera for them. Why is it an avera to do chesed and tzedakah? They're only doing it in order to be honored for it. They're only doing it in order to receive credit for it. Since that's their sole intention in doing this, it is considered an avera to do it. I was just learning with one of my sons, Orchus Sadikim, tonight in Shara Gaiva, and he writes that one good way to know whether you're on the right path in terms of your intentions in doing a mitzvah, as you're doing a mitzvah publicly, if you are doing a mitzvah publicly, think about how you would go about doing that mitzvah if it were in private, if no one were looking. If it's the same, then you're in good shape. Meaning, if you would do it the same privately as you would do it publicly, then you're doing okay. Otherwise, some cheshbon ha-nefesh is required. We need to think about, how much of what we're doing are we doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how much are we doing because we love the glory that comes with it. So the chesed of the umim is a chatas because it's all for the glory. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, says the Gemara, and so what if it's all for the glory? What about our Gemara? So what if it's all for the glory? You're allowed to do it for ulterior motives? Lo kasha. Can be Yisrael, can be Ovid Kachavim. there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. For a Jew, it could be all for the glory, and that's fine. For a non-Jew, it can't. Very, very difficult to understand. Why? Why would there be... we saw that chiluk already in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, but this is it, drawing it even in even more sharper contrast, because it's saying that it's mamish na'aveira, that the mitzvah, it's not just that you don't get schar mitzvah, the mitzvah becomes an aveira, versus for the Jew, it's tzadik gamur. So why is that? So in order to understand why that is, the Rishonim and Achronim point out another kasha that has to be dealt with, and this is what we'll call kasha number one that we're going to be dealing with, the kasha that's actually dealt with by Rishonim. Kasha number one that we're going to be dealing with is, let's forget the Goyim for a second, let's forget, or the Nachrim for a second, let's focus on what the Gemara told us about a Jew who does a mitzvah with an ulterior motive. The Gemara said, tzadik gamur, it's the ideal, it's perfect. Problem is, there is a very well-known Mishnah in the very first parak of Pirkei Avos. You don't even have to make it that far in Pirkei Avos, and you will have learned this Mishnah, third Mishnah in all of Pirkei Avos. Antigonus ish socho kibo mishuman atzadik, huwa ya omer, al tiyu ka avadim amsham shnes rav al menas lekabel pras, el havu ka avadim amsham shnes rav shelo al menas lekabel pras, v'imor shemayim aleichem. One should not be thinking about the reward when he does his mitzvah. One should not be thinking about how he's going to benefit from doing the mitzvah. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we are supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we want to serve Hashem, we want to do right by Hashem. Not because we want Hashem to give us X, Y, or Z. Yichya b'ni, chayol maba, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. So the Mishnah is very clear that you're not supposed to have that attitude when you do a mitzvah. Yet the Gemara says, tzadik amur, nothing wrong with it. That's a murderous kasha. That's a really strong kasha, and that's why Rishonim deal with that kasha. How do we differentiate between the two? So the way the Balei HaTosos deal with it is essentially to say, the Gemara already dealt with it. Because we already find in the Gemara that it's not always a tzadik amur when you have an ulterior motive. Sometimes it's a terrible thing when you have an ulterior motive if you happen to be a Nachri. It's a terrible thing. But why? What is it about a Nachri versus Yisrael? So say the Balei HaTosos, no, they don't exactly formulate it this way, they say as follows, there is no difference between a Nachri and Yisrael. It's not what the Gemara means. There's no difference between a Nachri and Yisrael. The difference is, what's going to happen if you don't get what you had hoped for when you did the mitzvah? A person does a great mitzvah as a zechus for a refuah shleima of a relative. Right, takes on a new Kabbalah, does a great mitzvah, zechus refuah shleima. It happens sometimes the relative doesn't have a refuah shleima. What does the person say to himself at that point? If a person says to himself, so the zechus should be for something else, and it was their merit that caused me to come so much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that caused me to do this mitzvah, and they're still proud of the mitzvah, and they still want to keep up the mitzvah, they feel like they did the right thing, then that's wonderful. But if the attitude is, what did I do that for? What a waste. I said I was going to learn a whole Masech to Luzchus Refuah Shleima for so-and-so. I learned the whole Masech. I said all of Tehillim every day or every week or whatever. And look, they didn't have Refuah Shleima. I shouldn't have wasted all my time. I would have been better off, spending my time on Facebook and, seeing what the latest talk is in wherever with all my friends. You know, if that's going to be their attitude, then it's not a mitzvah. Then it's an Aveira. So it's all about attitude. The Balei HaTosos say. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Be serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom al menas kal pras, not al menas kal pras," meaning, don't make it totally contingent on the pras. You could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with kavana for the pras, that's fine, but not al menas lekabel pras. Don't make it all hinge on the reward that you're going to get for it. The Gemara, when it says tzadik gamur, is because you're hoping for a result, but if you don't get the result, that's okay too. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, with the Martin family in Lawrence, when the brother of the woman who was very, very ill and still needs tefillos for Refuah Shleima, when he spoke in Lakewood, he spoke about how how it's possible, and we don't know any of these things, but it's possible that all of the tefillos that were poured into his other sister who passed away a few years ago, it's possible that the Ribbono Shel Olam used those tefillos to perform a miracle for this sister who wakes up out of nowhere from a coma where the doctors have totally given up hope. We don't know. So a person to say, I regret all the good things I did, I shouldn't have done it because look, my relative didn't make it. So that's rishos, that's terrible, that's chesed lumim chatas. But a person is gonna be proud of what they did, so that's zaka tromim goy, that's harezet tzadik gomer, that's a wonderful thing. Why does the Gemara use the term, hab ben nachrim, hab Yisrael, kan be Yisrael, kan ben nachrim? It should have said, kan with a person who would not regret it, kan with a person who would regret it. So the Tos Yontov points out, what the Gemara means to say is that al pi rov, the Nachri is more likely to regret having done the mitzvah if he doesn't get his desired result. And al pi rov, majority of cases, the Yisrael is more likely not to regret having done the mitzvah if he doesn't get his desired result. But there is no rule of Nachri versus Yisrael on this issue. The rule is really, what is a person's attitude, Jew or non-Jew alike? If his attitude is, I'm proud of the mitzvah, regardless of whether I received the result that I wanted, he's a tzaddik gamur. Jew, non-Jew alike, if his attitude is, I never should have done it, it was a waste of time, I didn't get what I wanted, he's a rasha. He did not get credit for the mitzvah, it's a chatas for him, it's an avera for him. That is how the Balei HaTosos deal with this question. There are a few other approaches, though, in Rishonim, and the last of the approaches is the one that is really from one of the Achronim, is the one that's going to segue us into the next part of the shir. Just to mention quickly what some of the other approaches are. The Bir Grod Yerodesim and Reish Chaf is Medayik from a Ramah. The Ramah writes that a person who says, Etein Sela L'Tzdaka Kadesha Yichya B'ni, I'm giving this Sela to Tzedakah so that my son will live. V'im lo yichye lo etein. And if he doesn't live, I don't want to give the money. And he hasn't yet given it. Avlagav shovir al menas kabel pras, even though he's going against what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, mikol makom patarim lo yichye. If the kid doesn't live, he has no obligation to pay up on the pledge, because the pledge was conditional on his child living. That's how the Ramah sets up the explanation of the Mishnah and Avos. So what did the Ramah add that the Gemara didn't say? So what the Gemara said was, Homer sella zulu tzedaka bishvil sheyichya b'ni. The Ramah's adding, and if he doesn't, then I don't want to give it. He's adding the other side. What's going to happen if it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out? Why does the Ramah have to add that? What's he adding by saying that? So the truth is, he has to add that for a halach. He's trying to tell you that in that case, if he doesn't make it, you actually are not chayiv to give the money. In terms of dini mamnus, you're not chayiv to make good on the pledge. But says the Gra, perhaps what the Ramah is telling us is that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is limited to making a bona fide two-sided tanai. In order to make a binding tanai in halacha, we need a tanai kafel, like tanai b'nei gad b'nei ruvei. You have to say, if yes, this, if no, that. When the Mishnah says, don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu al menas l'kabel pras, it means al menas with a full-fledged tanai. But anything short of a full-fledged tanai, like just saying, b'shvil sheyichya b'ni, that's totally fine. That's how the Gra understands, based on that Ramah, how to answer this question, this stira, between these three Gemaras and that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Another possibility, the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Truma alludes to this. He doesn't really say it straight out, but he alludes to this idea. What's Pirkei Avos about? What is, the Gemara tells us, if you want to achieve certain goals in life, what to learn to achieve those goals. So someone who wants to be a chassid, what should he learn if he wants to be a chassid? So different opinions in the Gemara. Nezikin maybe. What should a person learn? So one opinion is Avos. Mili de Avos. Why is Avos the limud for he who wants to be a chassid? What is it? Because all of Pirkei Avos are these halachos? Is everything in Pirkei Avos a halacha? There's an absolute chiyuv. You have to be done as called the mekav schus. You must do that, and if you don't do that, you are violating a law in the Torah. You're violating. What is that? You get malchus? What is Pirkei Avos all about? It's all about midas chassidus. It's all about how to be a super good person. it's not how to fulfill the minimum requirement of halacha. You know, Rabbi Walter Wurzburg, as a chronicle of Racha, used to always say that we always have to make sure we remember that halacha is a floor, it's not a ceiling. It's the bare minimum of the expectation of the Jew. But then there's mili de chasidus. Then, you know, there's more than that. It's not a stira at all. You can't ask that the Gemara says, you know, three different places, that he's a tzaddik gomer, he's doing the mitzvah correctly when he says, b'shvil sheyichye b'ni. And the Mishnah Berakhot Yevamot says you should aim higher. Yeah, that's okay. You can aim higher. The mitzvah, you did it correctly. You got the mitzvah. Should you aim higher? Mili de chasidus? Yeah, you should aim higher. It would be a problem if the Mili de chasidus was a direct contradiction. It's not a direct contradiction. I was listening to interviews we were talking about before where people were saying, you know, the halacha says that, you know, certain arayos are usher. But a Jewish heart says that they're really a mitzvah. That's how Bikursus, right? We don't believe the Jewish heart tells us to go against the halacha. But to aim higher than the halacha, that's certainly a mili de chasidus.
It's hard to read into the Gemara because it's a tzaddik gomer.
Tzaddik gomer is tzedek, meaning you've done this properly. You're not a chasid.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a chinami.
And if you did this alt tonight, like the tonight couple, if this so and so gets better, then if you gave the money then because he got better, does that have any?
So according to this approach, it would have no impact.
You gave it as tzedek.
Right. It wouldn't make a difference. The Netziv suggests. I saw this quoted in the Sifta, but I didn't get a chance to find my Netziv, my Merome Sada, that very interestingly, he says, you're allowed to attach a Tanai to a mitzvah, an ulterior motive to a mitzvah, when that ulterior motive is already connected to that mitzvah. Tzedaka tatzil mimaves. We already know that there's a connection between Yichya B'ni and Tzedaka. You're not making up that connection. Aser bishvil shetis asher. Give maestros so that you'll become wealthy. Why are you allowed to do that? Because when you're giving trumas and maestros, you're supporting Kohanim and Levim, giving the ability to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and the work in the Beis HaMikdash happens to be a skula for a shefa of ashirus. The Ketores and everything else, it's a shefa of ashirus. So it's only when there's already a connection, you can use the connection that God already made and say, yeah, I want that thing that God promises for the mitzvah. I don't know how that fits with B'shul Seheskel Chayelam Abba. It fits Sheyichya B'ni, but I didn't get a chance to see the Netziv inside. Interesting idea. Now, the final approach, and this is the approach of the Parashas Rachim, and will lead us right into the next question, which I told you I don't really believe is really a kasha, but the final approach is, the Parashas Rachim suggests that maybe there's a difference between Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chaveru versus Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Makom. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos spoke about Al tiyu kavadim hamishamshin es harav al menas lekabel pras. Who are the avadim? We are. Who's the rav? Ribono shel Olam, it's Hashem. The Gemaras in Roshana, Pesach, and Babasra were dafka talking about selazu letzdaka. Letzdaka means it's going to another human being, it's going to a person. Maybe that's the difference. When it comes to mitzvos ben adam l'chaveru, I mean, we'd have to add this to our list of nafkaminas between mitzvos ben adam l'chaveru and mitzvos ben adam l'makom. That's like the, if you ever hear a shir on the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim, a lamdash shir on the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim, that's the shir to give, right? Is it a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru, mitzvah ben adam l'makom, and who cares? L'may nafkamina. So then you go through the 5-6 nafkaminas between mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru and l'makom, not for now. But maybe we'll add this to the list. That maybe if it's a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru, Kavana, ulterior motives, don't bother us. Mitzvah ben adam l'makom, ulterior motives bother us. You're not supposed to have ulterior motives, you've got to do it with pure intent. It can't be al menas l'kabel pras. Why? What would the svara be? Why do I not care what's going through my mind when I'm giving an ani tzedakah, but I do care what's going through my mind when I'm putting on tefillin? Or when I'm, tefillin's a bad example because you can't have hashadas and all that. But when I'm shaking lulav. So what's the difference? What's the svara? Ask the ani. Right? If you were to ask the ani, how did that mitzvah feel when he gave you that tzedakah thinking that he wants his son to live? What would the ani tell you? felt about the same as him giving tzedakah and not asking that his son would live. I'm happy to have the money. Thank you very much. He should keep on doing it with whatever intentions he has. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro has a clear goal to provide somebody with something. If you've provided somebody with something, you've done the mitzvah. What's going through your head is a side point. It's almost irrelevant because tzadik gamur, meaning you've accomplished what that mitzvah was meant to accomplish. Bein Adam L'Makom is supposed to create a relationship between you and the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's it. There is no practical toeles that comes out from shaking a lulav. It's like, what happens when you shake the lulav? Hashem loves me. I don't know. I feel closer to Hashem. That's it. So if you're thinking of anything but getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ruins that mitzvah. That's the suggestion of the Parshas Rachim. Distinction between Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Ben Adam L'Makom. Now what I would want to suggest is that this is not, even according to the Parshas Rachim, not a distinction between Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Ben Adam L'Makom. What he really means is something else. He's using those terms imprecisely. And I have a strong raya that he's using those terms imprecisely. What if a person is searching for chametz, and he has an ulterior motive in searching for chametz? What do we know about such a person? Tzadik gamur. We know with certainty, the Gemara in Pesachim said, searching for chametz, mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro or mitzvah ben adam l'makom. It's clearly ben adam l'makom. So what, the Parshas Rachim didn't read the Gemara? The Gemara said, tzadik gamur, when you do bedikas chametz with an ulterior motive. And now all of a sudden we're going to say that Bein Adam L'Makom is your Russia if you do it with an ulterior motive? How could it be? So I think it's imprecise. When we're using the terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and Bein Adam L'Makom, it's not what we mean at all. What we mean is what Rav Yonasan Sacks likes to refer to as miso-oriented mitzvos versus goal-oriented mitzvos. There are certain mitzvos where the mitzvah is do the miso. Why? Because that's a mitzvah. What are you trying to accomplish? There is no what you're trying to accomplish. It's a mitzvah, so you do it. Then there are certain mitzvahs that are very, very clearly meant to accomplish something. It's meant to achieve a certain result down here on earth. Tzedakah is meant to achieve the result of having the poor man have food on his table. You build a makah al gagecha. It's meant to achieve a result that you have a safe environment on your roof. You light Neros Chanukah in a public area to achieve a result that the world knows that there was a miracle near Chanukah, that there was a miracle of Chanukah. Is that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? Near Chanukah? No, it's clearly not Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. It's Bein Adam L'Makom. But it's goal-oriented. Now, most of the time, mitzvos Bein Adam L'Makom are maiso-oriented, and mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are goal-oriented. You're being mevaker cholah to make him feel better. You're being menachem avel to make him feel better. You're giving tzedakah to provide for him. You know, most mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro are goal-oriented, and most mitzvos ben adam l'makom are maiso-oriented. You put on tefillin because that's the mitzvah, not to accomplish anything. You put on tzitzis because that's the mitzvah. You eat matzah because that's the mitzvah. But it's not 100%. Searching for chametz. Bein Adam L'Makom for sure. It's not Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Goal-oriented or maiso-oriented? Is it just do it because you do it? Or do it to achieve result X? Well, certainly it's okay. It may be a great maiso to do, but it's very clear. What are you trying to accomplish? Getting rid of your, having a chametz-free environment in your home. Or not violating Bali Rabbi Yamatzeh, not coming to eat it, whatever you have to learn through all the Rishonim at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. But it's clear that you're coming to accomplish something, and it's a goal-oriented mitzvah. It's not in the Maisa. And that's beautiful. That fits in very nicely with the Parshas Rachim. He read the Gemara in Pesachim. He knows what the Gemara in Pesachim says. It's just when he uses the terms, he doesn't mean that. It's not what he's talking about. And this leads us to the second question that the Achronim deal with. This Gemara, a person says, "Selazul tzedak al menas sheyichy b'ni areiz etzad gamur." There is a halach in Shulchan Aruch that mitzvos to araisa tzrichos kavanas. Machlokes tanoim, machlokes amoraim, machlokes rishonim. Whether in general mitzvos need kavana or don't need kavana. Someone says, "Hey, pass me that citron and palm branch and whatever," and you pick it up and you pass it to him. You're not thinking at all and trying to do the mitzvah of dalad minim. But you did. You lifted it up. Midag mi nafat pe. You're ready to yotze the mitzvah. The second you pick it up. Are you yotze the mitzvah that way or not? It's a machlokas. We paskin no. We paskin mitzvos, tzrichos kavanah for mitzvos daraisa at least. Perhaps mitzvos drabanan are different, because the Shulchan Aruch says, if someone asks you, hey, what night of Sfira is it tonight again? And you say, oh, it's 26. It's the 26th night of Sfira tonight. And you're not at all thinking that you want to do the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch says, ooh, you better not make a bracha because you just got the mitzvah. But you didn't have kavanah at all. Maybe a mitzvah drabanan is different. And Sfira Somer Bismana says drabanan. But for a mitzvah d'oraisa, we paskin mitzvah srichos kavanah. Here's the kash of the achronim. How can you say a guy saying it's Omer Selazul Tzedaka Bishvil Sheyichya Bini Harezet Tzadik Gamur? He shouldn't even get the mitzvah at all, because he's not having kavanah l'shem mitzvah. He's having kavanah l'shem Sheyichya Bini. So there's if you hold mitzvah's kavanah, it's no good. Now I hold this kasha is not a kasha at all. I think it's based on a fundamental misunderstanding of what the word kavanah means. And it's not just me, the Chafetz Chaim holds this way as well, so, you know, gives you a little more comfort that this it's not a kasha at all. But it was a kasha that was taken seriously by several achron. The son of the Nodeb Yehuda wrote a Sefer of Drashos. His father also wrote a Sefer of Drashos, which I have. The son's Sefer of Drashos I don't have, but Hebrew Books has it. The Avas Tzion, the father's Sefer, which I turned my whole house upside down thinking that it was published in the same book, the Doresh Letzion, a thin black volume, but the son of the Yehuda wrote a Sefer of Drashos, and he says that his father was bothered by this Kasha. I typed it up here with a bunch of typos, because I was typing it myself, but it's in your Yomar Makabel somewhere, but yeah, source number 9. He says his father was bothered by this Kasha, and if you look in the second line of the second paragraph of that source, V'adoni avi mori v'rabi agon zasal nasan tam l'zeh lama b'kol ha-mitzvot sarach l'asos ha-mitzvot l'shem shamayim v'lo amenas l'kabel pras u'b'mitzvah tzedakah u'tzad gomor m'nosan amnashi yichi b'ni. Why is tzedakah different than every other mitzvah that requires kavanah? V'amar adoni avi mori v'rabi agon zasal shekol mitzvah Hashem im eino osa l'shem mitzvah ein bo mamish ve'eino osa klum. If you eat matzah because you like crackers, you didn't do anything. Da'im not a lulav, amaniach tefillin v'tzitzis, v'lulei sheish b'mitzvah bari baruch hu, asher tziva lasos dover zeh, ein b'maisa hazeh, shum to'eles mitzad atzmusa. If you take an action that if not for the fact that God commanded you to do this action would be meaningless. If I go sit in a hut today, that is meaningless because God did not command me to do so. If I eat a cracker today, that is meaningless because God did not command me to do so. The only thing that infuses that action with any sort of meaning is the Tzivoy Hashem. Well, then, says the Nodeb Yehuda, if you don't have kavanah for a mitzvah, you've turned it back into a meaningless action. If to you it's not a command of God, to you it's just that action, then it's meaningless. But what about an action that's inherently meaningful? Like tzedakah. With a command of God, without a command of God, you're helping a poor person eat. It's inherently meaningful. He says, then the kavanah is not going to be so important. Even though there's no mechsheves mitzvah, there's afilu achi yesh to'eles, upu'ula basiyaso, ta'ani nene mimenu. The guy's getting benefit from you. And you know what? He says, no, and he doesn't care whether you're doing it l'shem shamayim or not. He's getting that same benefit. Essentially, what he seems to be saying, slightly different, but very similar to what the Parashas Rachum was saying about Almanas L'Kabel Pras. He seems to be saying, when it's a mitzvah, that is just a mice-oriented mitzvah. Why is this mitzvah valuable? Because God said do it. That's it. I can't explain otherwise why it would be valuable. It's not accomplishing anything, it's not doing anything, it's just a mitzvah Hashem. Just. It is a mitzvah Hashem. Well, that's where kavanah is critical. But if it's something that otherwise accomplishes a great benefit to society, or a great benefit to other people, or a great benefit in some way, well, then you don't need kavanah. Kavanah is not as critical. It seems like the same thing as the Parashas Drachim. So what about Bedikas Chametz? So that's where it may be different. Because the way he formulates it is he defines not as goal-oriented, but he defines it as that which would be meaningful without meaning, objectively moral, yeah. without a Tzivoy Hashem. People quote it as him being Mechalik between Ben al-Mechaver and Ben al-Mumakom. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Meaning, not every mitzvah on the chaver maybe is something that I would have figured out on my own. Maybe certain mitzvah on the makom I could have figured out on my own and are inherently valuable. It's just, it's not the same geder. It's not the same geder. It's not the same as maisa and totsa oriented, but you see that the Parshas Rachum's answer can answer this question also. Meaning, the Yehuda is not going with that, but in fact, the Asfan D'Oraisa of Yosef Engel discusses, do we say Onus Rachmana Patre on mitzvah saseh? Meaning, the Torah tells us, the Torah teaches us, that if a woman, Rachmana Litzlan, is raped with someone that she's not, by someone she's not allowed to have relations with. So we punish the man. Do we punish the woman for having relations with someone she's not allowed to have relations with? No, we do not punish the woman. Oh, but she had relations with the man. But anus, rachmana patre. A person was anus. It was against her will. She was not in control of the situation. She's totally exempt. So I know that if I violate a lo saseh, like illicit relations, ba'ones, rachmana patre. Any lo saseh. What about mitzvah saseh? I couldn't do the mitzvah, but it wasn't my fault. It was an onus. Do we say onus is commander of it done? That it's like you did the mitzvah. So says Rav Yosef Engel, it depends whether it's a mitzvah ben al-lachver or ben al-makom. Those are the words he uses, but again, I submit to you, that is not what he means. The words he uses is it depends whether it's ben al-lachver or ben al-makom. Ben al-lachvero, someone's going to benefit from it, it's inherently valuable, there's a toelus to it. So you can't say, oh, Nebuch, I couldn't do it, I couldn't give tzedakah, oh, but it's as if I did it. But the guy's starving. What do you mean it's as if you did it? The toelus that was supposed to come, I didn't have an opportunity to build a makkah on my roof because I was so busy, it wasn't really in my control. Someone fell off your roof and died. Go explain that to him. I mean, there's no as if I did it when there's a clear toelus that's supposed to come out of it and you didn't do it. But if the whole mitzvah is a maisa, or if the whole mitzvah is what he calls ben adam lamakom, you know, I couldn't eat matzah, I couldn't put it into, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only interested in that you did your best to do those mitzvahs. And that's good enough. That's what the Asfan D'Oraisa says. And he clearly doesn't mean ben adam lachaver or ben adam lamakom. What he clearly means is maisa versus totsa oriented. Is it a maisa oriented mitzvah, or is it a result oriented? That's clearly what he means. As long as it's a maisa-oriented mitzvah, come on, David.
If I find out after 15 years, my
tshuva. Oh, that is very relevant to that sugya. Exactly. Right. That's a major. Every posek wrote a tshuva on that shaila. Because a lot of people find out after 15, 20, 30, 50 years that they're tefillin apostle their whole life. What do they do emotionally? So this would be very helpful to someone like that. Right? That an onus, come on, David. Very nogea to that sugya. Oh, why is this not a kasha at all, though? This whole and there are many other applications of this, but we're not going to have time to get into it. Why is this not a kasha at all? That on the one, it's mitzvah shrichs kavana. How could it be that a person gives tzedakah b'shvil sheyichya b'ni, that he's a tzaddik gomer? Where's his kavana for the mitzvah? Here's why it's not a kasha. What does kavana mean? We have to translate the terms. Kavana doesn't mean that he's completely l'shem shemayim. Kavana doesn't mean that his motivation to do the mitzvah, that what's pushing him to do the mitzvah. Let's say you're a teenager and your parent has to force you to go to shul. So that means you did the mitzvah without kavana. Your parent has to force you, remember to shake lulav today. Remember to pray in tefillin today. That means when you do the mitzvah, you're not getting the mitzvah because you're not having kavana. Of course you're getting the mitzvah. Why are you getting the mitzvah? Kavana has nothing to do with motivation. Kavana is recognition that it's a tzivoy Hashem. Recognition that this act is not a meaningless act, it's not an empty act, it's an actual mitzvah. As long as you recognize that it's a mitzvah, you fulfilled mitzvah srichas kavana. What's the case of not having kavana? Hey, pass me that citron and palm branch, and you just pick it up and pass it, not even thinking that you're doing it tzivoy Hashem. But if you realize you're doing it tzivoy Hashem, even if you're only doing it b'shvil sheyichya b'ni, or you're only doing it because you want olam haba, or you're only doing it because, whatever explanation you want to add on to the end of the sentence, but you're still having kavana because you still recognize that it's a tzivoy Hashem. And that is essentially what the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, in Perachav Gimelos Beis, that this is not a stira at all. So while it's not a stira at all, I found the drasha of the Nodeb Yudah Son to be a nice segue into that topic of a chiluk between Melam Machaver and Melam Makom, which doesn't really mean Melam Machaver and Melam Makom, really means Maisa-oriented versus Totsa-oriented.